This is Greg Olson, here to tell you about my new podcast, TE1. On the show, I had a chance to talk to my fellow tight ends who have revolutionized the position from an extra lineman to a dual threat superstar. And just like my guests have changed the game, this year, NFLSundayTicket.tv is revolutionizing your NFL viewing experience. Stream all the live out-of-market NFL games every Sunday on your favorite devices and never miss a moment from your favorite players. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use the promo code GREG88 at checkout and get 15% off your subscription. That's NFLSundayTicket.tv and the promo code GREG88. Subscribe to TE1 and get NFLSundayTicket.tv, an unmatched dual threat.
This is a Web Canopy Studio production.
Welcome, everybody, to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, not Tim Wurzberger. Tim's taking Wednesdays off for the foreseeable future. I don't understand why. He's lazy. He's a bum. I don't get it. I don't like it. I like when Tim's here, but hey, we must trudge on just like last week. So anyways, I hope everyone's doing well. Another exciting half week of hockey so far. Some big news. The New York Rangers won the big lottery for Lafreniere, who doesn't know how to pronounce his name? It's me. So there was some conspiracy theory, because if you watch the little ball drop, the guy who was putting the balls in accidentally slipped when he was putting the Rangers ball into the hopper, and everyone was saying, oh, it's because it's weighted down, it's frozen, it's heavier, because if you have a heavier ball, it's obviously going to get picked first when they try to suck the balls out of the bottom or whatever. But anyways, it wasn't rigged. It was fine. I'm glad the Rangers won. It's pretty cool. They'll have him. They'll have Panarin. They'll have Kako. They'll have the good young goalies. They have the great young defense they have set up. So I think it's good that there's a good hockey team in New York. They've been okay for a long, long time. And that Jeff Gordon has done a good job rebuilding that team, signing guys to smart deals, and just kind of restructuring that organization, because their owner is an absolute animal. Like, he's really strange, that Dolan guy. So it's good to see them on strong footing, and they'll have a good team moving forward. Anyways, so for this episode, we're going to have another special guest. He's a former teammate of mine. He was voted 10-time most handsome man in the league by the players. We do that vote. We do a lot of votes that the fans don't know about. And he was voted the best-looking player. He is a current analyst on NBC. I tried to get him on before the playoffs, but he said, I can't do it. NBC won't let me. They won't let me do any media until the playoffs start. So I had to wait patiently for him to start his season now that the playoffs are started. So Patrick Sharp is going to join us. I have some interesting questions I want to ask him about our time playing together. And I also want to talk to him about his take now that he's an analyst. He's Mr. Know-It-All. I want to know who he predicts to win the Stanley Cup, who he's going to take in some of these series, what his take is on the whole format. And it'll just be interesting, because when you're a player and when you retire, you just figure you go into retired life. The option's always there for some guys to go into the analyst role and to get on TV, but it just – I had that opportunity. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to leave home. I didn't want to have that schedule and just be around hockey all the time. So I want to pick his brain a little bit, see what it's like if he travels all the time, if it's more work, if it's less work, if he likes it to be on the other side of the camera, asking guys questions and analyzing players, even though they're your friends. It's really tough, because when you see a guy who's playing well or playing terrible, you have to call it like you see it. And it's hard for some guys to do that. So, and Patrick likes to be liked. Let's be honest. He likes to be the friendly guy that no one has issues with. I don't care. People have issues with me all the time. I get hate mail constantly. It doesn't bother me. So we'll talk about the first round matchups, the games that are going on tonight. Today is Tuesday. We're doing this taping. We'll release on a Wednesday, so the results will be out there. Well, what are you going to do? That's just the world we live in. I can't really tape it. I guess I could release it later today before the games are. But I'm not going to. It would ruin my Monday, Wednesday, Friday thing I have going on. But it's going to be Lightning, Blue Jackets, Bruins, Hurricanes, Vegas, Hawks, and Stars and Flames. Some big matchups. Not as sexy as I would have liked. We'll probably talk about the Leafs because, man, it's just a disaster. Every time I read something, and now John Tortorella is sticking up for Keefe, the coach of the Leafs, because he's just getting bombarded with media and people calling for his head, how he didn't know how to coach. He doesn't know what's going on. He ruined the Leafs' playoff chances. These are the same people that were calling for Babcock's head. And I'm not that old, but I can remember when Keefe was hired, people were praising him. And they were saying, this is the best hire ever. He's going to change this team. This is Dubas's guy. They have the same system. It's going to be great. This is going to revolutionize the Leafs. And now, not so short, 5-6 months later, they're burning his effigy in Toronto. They want him out of the city just because he can't get this team to perform. And I don't think anybody could. All right, hold on. I'm going to admit somebody into the chat here. Hello?
Johnny boy.
Oh, my goodness. It's Patrick Sharp. Unbelievable. How are you, my friend?
Good. I'm just setting up this thing here.
I don't usually put video on, but I had to put video on for you. I had to.
Well, I don't have the hair and makeup team with me right now, so.
Where are you right now? I look like. Are you in the bubble?
No, I'm in Connecticut. We got a house here, Abby and I, and the kids, and it's like 80 miles from the studio in Stamford, Connecticut, where NBC Studios are. So I just drive back and forth.
That's not bad. I was going to ask you, do you travel around? I didn't think you did.
Not usually. I'll do like the Winter Classic I was able to do. I did an All-Star game, that kind of stuff. Stanley Cup Final we usually go to, but this year I'm not sure if we're going to do that or not.
Well, yeah, you have to go through all the lockdown stuff and everything, right?
Yeah, and I don't want to be the guy that like brings the coronavirus into the bubble and has the Stanley Cup Final shut down. So I'll just stay in Connecticut.
Imagine that. That'd be some kind of legacy. Wouldn't be a bad thing.
I get the cup. I take it home.
I'm taking it home. I win. Well, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Sorry it took so long to get on. That first round was crazy. I was like at the studio 8-10 hours a day just watching hockey nonstop.
Is that tough? Like, do you have to watch so much hockey that it just rots your brain, or do you like it?
It starts to rot the brain after a while, but I do like it. You know, I find I wake up in the morning and I feel like I'm hungover. Honestly, it's like,
yeah,
you're locked in watching it. You don't really have to watch every detail of every play, but honestly, I don't want to just go up on there and BS. You know, I like to watch the games, especially the big ones, try to break it down as best I can instead of just promoting, you know, the highlight goals and stuff.
Exactly.
Like that.
You watch the Sportsnet highlights like I do, right. And then I BS it on my podcast and hopefully it realizes it. So like for this, the play-in rounds, you won't watch the Stars Flames or the Avalanche Coyotes. You won't watch it at all.
No, I'll watch it. I'll watch every second of it.
Really? Every single second? You're crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And they have a great setup. There's a big, huge screen right off the desk from where we're on the air. And we just sit in like a comfortable chair and they'll play whatever games are going on. So if there's three games going on or two, you're watching as best you can to keep a track of everything. But Keith Jones will be there. Anson Carter's there. Catherine, Liam, Mike Tirico has been in. Eddie Olchek's been in a lot, which has been fun.
Oh, cool.
And we're just talking hockey. Like, hey, did you see that? What do you think about this? We're just kicking ideas around. It's long hours, but I'm not complaining about the job. It's pretty fun to watch hockey for a living.
Who's the biggest, like, sports geek out of all those guys who's, like, always thinking about strategy and players and stuff like this, outcomes? Which one of the people is that?
Oh, it's got to be Jones and Olchek, but they're not talking hockey. They're talking horse racing all the time. Both those guys are dialed into the horse racing. I don't know what language they're speaking when they talk horse racing, but that's what they're usually discussing.
Don't they own a horse with Q or something? They own – I thought they did.
I don't know. They're always involved talking about horses that they're involved with. So I'll get the official details of that today.
Then you're just like, I don't care. So listen, three of your former teams are still in it. Who do you have a horse in the race, so to speak? Not no pun intended.
Yeah, not really. I mean, I got excited watching the Blackhawks. I can't lie. You know, I mean, everybody knows I played for the Hawks, and it was fun to see the old boys show up in the playoffs and remind everybody how to get things done. You know, I know it was a qualifying round series, but Jonathan's, you've heard people talk about his decline in the regular season couple of years ago. I mean, he looks like a pretty good player to me, doesn't he? Brandon Saad looks like a good playoff performer. Kaner, he's just getting things going, but he's always drawing attention out there. Dunks was an animal. Crow was pretty good. I mean, considering Crow practiced, I think, once or twice with the team and then started game one, I mean, that's Crawford for you. He doesn't really – he's very low maintenance as a goaltender. And what I thought was cool, Johnny, was like the younger players on the Hawks, which I watched for 70 games, they were just trying to find their way. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they showed me that they really wanted to win in the playoffs. They were competing pretty hard. I think it's good for the team's development as we go along. As far as horses in the race, in the West, I like Vegas and Colorado. St. Louis, I respect their team, but I know how tough it is to go deep in the playoffs two years in a row.
Back to back.
And then in the East, who knows, man? Tampa Bay, I was all excited about until I saw Hedman go down, and now they got to face those Blue Jackets again in round one. That's a toss-up. who else? Boston's looked a little shaky early on, but again, they'll get it going here. They're a tough team to play against. Carolina's got my attention a lot.
Right?
The way that
Me
they
too.
Play. And I figured going into this, honestly, not to sound like a hero, but I thought Columbus, I thought Carolina would be very difficult teams to play against. I mean, that's not rocket science. Everybody thought that. But to see Aho and Svechnikov and Teravainen kind of light it up, that's been fun to watch.
And then your alma mater, the Philly, the team you came in with. They're on fire.
Yeah, I know, and I can never remember to talk about them. They're like the best team in hockey right now. They proved it in the regular season. Basically, the last three quarters of the season, they were dialed in. They've won every game in the qualifying round, or I guess they were in the round robin. They got veteran coaches behind the bench. They're getting the most out of their depth players. They're sitting out veteran guys. They got tough decisions to make. So tough to overlook Philly, but everything starts for real in this first round of playoffs. We'll see the best out of all these teams. And, I mean, if anything taught us in the qualifying round, it's who knows anything. What's going
to
happen.
So you're going to drive to Connecticut soon to go watch hockey all night long.
Yeah, I go on at 8 o'clock tonight. So I'll probably leave here at like – 5 o'clock. Hopefully there's no accidents on the way. I got an 80-mile drive and I'm in the studio. Day one of the qualifying round, dude, I was on the air at noon.
Crazy.
For the whole kickoff thing on NBC, on the big NBC, not NBC Sports, on like the network NBC.
Yeah.
And I miscalculated the time and I rolled into the studio at like 11:13, jumped into the hair and makeup chair, got ready and was like running onto the set to start things off. I don't think NBC was too happy with that, but I get there a little bit earlier now.
Do you like it? Like, is this something that you planned on when you were playing? Like, was this the next step or to just like, I don't know. Do you like doing it?
Yeah. Yes and no. I mean, I like it because I'm a part of a team. I get to stay around hockey. The people at NBC have been a lot of fun to work with. I enjoy going to the studio. I'm excited to go tonight. So that's a good sign. But I miss the playing. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm 2 years removed from playing. I still think a hockey player. I still think I'm going to come back and play next year. I haven't quite turned the page on my career just, and that's been a tough thing to deal with. I'm sure you were in a similar boat when hockey ends and it's like, all right, what am I going to do now? You got the family at home. You get to stay home all day. You got to get out and direct the energy somewhere. At least that's how I felt. So from that standpoint, it's a great job. I'm excited to do it, but really thought I would be doing it. I guess playing in Chicago, we got a lot of practice, as you probably remember, with the media. Our convention is very much like you're forced to be on microphone talking in front of a lot of people, and you start to get a little more comfortable with it over the years. So, you know, something I thought of, but to think I'm going in to be a broadcaster for NBC in the first round playoffs, it's kind of cool.
It's crazy. The biggest network, arguably, in the world, and you're just up there killing it. You do a good job, too, because you do notice they did have a few guys they tried out. Well, like Marty Turkle was there for a while. Doesn't look like he's going to come back. And they kind of – like, you fit really good with those guys. And I don't blow smoke up guys' butts usually, but you did good. You're not just a pretty face. No, you actually do add a lot. It's really good, and you kind of hold your own, which is nice. So – very good.
Well, I've learned a lot from Jonesy. Keith Jones is like
– oh, he's good too.
Become like a mentor of mine. Eddie Olchuk as well, but I've known him for 15 years, Edzo. It's Keith Jones. I'm in the studio for all those hours I'm talking about. I'm right beside Jonesy, and I think he's one of the best on TV, if not the best. So just trying to be like Keith Jones.
Yeah, maybe you should make a shirt. Be like Jonesy or something. So is it similar to being a player then? Like just you guys bust each other chops and kind of pull pranks on each other and stuff?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's like – Jones is a pretty funny guy, and those people that are listening that know Keith Jones, they'll understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He's always got people laughing. in the studio. And I like that aspect of it, like that we're on the same team and we get to talk hockey all day, but not quite the same pranks that we used to pull when you and I were teammates, that's for sure.
Which pranks did we do? I don't know what you're talking about. What are you referencing, Patrick?
I don't know, man. I remember one time in Columbus, I had to change my hotel room. You know, I had to...
Was that the time when you soaked my mattresses and I couldn't sleep in my bed?
Yeah, but I think you won the exchange.
I had to retaliate.
And you did in a pretty big way. And let's just leave it at that, that you you won the fight there. And that was pretty much the end of all the pranking that I did with the Blackhawks.
How did you know it was me? How did you know?
I figured it was you. You were always giving me a hard time. And I saw your boy Bixie kind of gave it away. I saw
he has no poker face at all.
No, he's not the worst. I saw you guys whispering as we were getting off the bus, and I knew you were up to something, but I just kind of let it go. Went for lunch, came back to my room, and had to get a new room.
I took a big deuce in his toilet, and I put ice underneath it, and then turned the heat right up. So it was a good
prank. I had to throw out the suits and all the clothes I brought.
Oh, good time. I miss that. I miss the camaraderie between the guys. That's the thing I miss the most. Everyone's like, oh, you must miss the competition. You can get competition anywhere, honestly. Like, I play in a Sunday night league, and I get my competition there. Just the hanging out, the planes, the locker room. That's just something you can't replicate that. You probably have it a little bit in NBC, which is cool.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I still miss that side of things. Getting a haircut and walking into the rink the next day, right? You know you're going to take heat from
chirped.
15 guys. Like, that's the type of stuff that I miss. You know, if somebody gets a new suit jacket or something, he's going to get abused all day long about it. People have maybe a little more sensitive feelings in the real world when you're in that bubble, in that locker room. Anything goes, and that's the kind of stuff I miss for sure.
I know. You got to really temper yourself. We learned that from Jeremy with NBC. You got to be careful what you say. You can't carry it over. Sundays are coming back in the NFL. Whoa, I get excited for football. Even though this is a hockey podcast, I get excited. With the NFL SundayTicket.tv, you can stream every live, out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite devices. Plus, Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels never miss your favorite teams and favorite players. No matter where you live, NFLSundayTicket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout to get 15% off your subscription. Whoa, I might do that. That's a good deal. I love me some football, Tim. So visit NFLSundayTicket.tv. That's NFLSundayTicket.tv and use promo code BLUEWIRE.
Have you ever heard of DealDash.com? It's the best, most honest bidding site where you can win things you'd never expect at a price you'd never believe. They have over 1,000 auctions every day on electronics, appliances, beauty products, home decor, and even cars. Here's how it works. It's like an auction, but every item starts at $0 and only goes up 1 cent every time you bid. The kicker is that auction clock restarts after just 10 seconds. That means every time you bid, someone else has 10 seconds to answer or the item is yours. If you go ahead and buy now, DealDash is offering our listeners an extra 100 free bids upon sign up on top of their other discounts. Go to DealDash.com and use the offer code JohnScott20 or DealDash.fm JohnScott20. That's DealDash.fm/JohnScott20.
Speaking of that, I had Bolli on a couple weeks ago, and we were reminiscing about in Dallas when you almost killed us both. Remember you kicked your skate off?
Oh, yes.
And it flew through the air. It almost sliced my jugular.
That was you, too?
Yeah.
Okay. That was a tough one. Yeah, we had lost 1-0.
We had won 4-1, but you didn't get any points, and you were salty. And you came off the ice. You're so mad. I didn't score any goals. And you kicked your skate. That's exactly what happened. We won that game.
First of all, you got the city wrong. You got the score wrong. It was 1-0 overtime loss in San Jose, and I was mad. I'm not gonna lie. Probably because
no, you're drunk. It was Dallas, and no, we won 4-1, and you were salty because you didn't score any points, and you didn't get an empty netter.
That sounds like me at different points.
And
in
you
my
kicked
career,
your skate off, and it spiraled across my neck. Oh, it might have been San Jose.
It was San Jose, and our bags were packed, and I was kicking my skates off. Something I used to do, like, if these are my feet,
yeah,
I'd have undo my skates, and it'd be on my toes, and I'd just kick it into the bag. I did it after practice, after games. It was like my routine, except we had lost in overtime. I wasn't out there in overtime. That's why I was mad, because Joel, it was 4-on-4 overtime back then, and Joel didn't put me out there, and I was like,
"You're slow."
I was all pissed about it, and I kicked my foot the first one, and then I kicked the second one mad, and the skate just started, like, doing this through the air. And I went, heads up. Someone pulled their head back. I guess it
was
you.
That was me, yeah.
And Boley was undoing his skates. His arms were exposed. Skate cuts the wrist, and all of a sudden, we're like, blood was squirting.
I had it all over me. If there's one guy you don't want to get
squirting.
He's the one guy you don't want his blood on you. And it was all over me. I'm like, I have something, 100%.
Yeah, that was bad, man. Thanks for bringing up that. He missed one game against Colorado the next night, and then he played after that. Thank God. This much more, and maybe that's the end of his career, and I got to deal with that. So I learned my lesson. I didn't kick my skates off afterwards, but I was still upset if I didn't score. You're right about that.
Yeah, you did have a little bit of a issue with that. If I got upset every game I didn't score, I would be slitting throats. There'd be no one left to play the games. There'd be no one left in the NHL.
I don't know, man. That's how I was. That's what I needed to do to, like, compete. I don't know what it was. I could have probably been better handling my emotions, but I was showed when I was happy. I showed when I was mad. I still do it now. I'm working on it, Johnny. I'm trying to
work
on
it.
Retirement.
I think that's good to have that passion. If you weren't upset, then you wouldn't have scored or been the player you were.
Right.
It just
But now that I'm retired and I've got two daughters at home, maybe I don't need to show my emotions so much, right? Maybe I can just chill out a little bit.
Tell me about it. I have six daughters, and daily they're like, take it easy, Dad. I'm like, sorry.
Congratulations, by the way. You only had five the last time I talked to you. Now you got six, man.
That was a month ago, yeah. I was really hoping this one was a boy, but
there's always number seven.
I feel like men, real men, just get women around them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. You
That's
got
what I
six.
Think.
I've got two. Just wait until your six daughters have kids. They're all going to be boys, and then you're going to get all the boys that you wanted.
Then I'll get my boy time. But right now, I love my girls. They're the best. All right, let's move on. Enough about me. So I didn't realize this. You've won a lot of things in your career. Mm-hmm. Like, you won the Calder Cup. Then you won a couple of Stanley Cups. I didn't know you won the gold medal, too. I didn't know you were on that team.
Yeah, I know. I pinch myself every day. It was the 2014 Olympics in Russia. Stamkos got hurt like in October or November, maybe. He really got that leg injury, and he was going to be out for a while. Right-handed shot, goal scorer. We had just won our second Stanley Cup in 2013. We had a top team in the West the next year. I was playing on a line with Hossa and Taves, and I was lighting it up. And I thought, maybe, hey, scored in the playoffs. I've shown I could compete in these big games. Maybe I got a chance to make this team. But when you look at the roster of players that were there and how well the team played, pretty a highlight individually to be a part of that team. Very special to win that tournament. But those tournaments are like 3 weeks. It's a bunch of good players brought together. You got a job to do. Go out there and accomplish it. Nothing like spending all this time together with your club team and winning the Stanley Cup. But I was very lucky when I look back on my career.
Which one's the best? Because can you compare a Calder Cup to a Stanley Cup? Are they in the same league? Yeah.
For me, you can. I mean, you're not going to get the attention for winning the Calder Cup, but the emotions are all the same. You know, it was the lockout year 2004-05, no NHL. So there's a lot of good players playing in the American League, and it was great for my development. Our team was awesome all season long, and then in playoffs we added Jeff Carter and Mike Richards in the first round, and they went on to be like our two best forwards.
Well, shocking,
Yeah, we won that one, but all the emotions are the same. It's like in the playoff series, there's always a defining moment. You know, you look around the locker room, if you got all the guys buying in and competing, you're going to have a good chance to win. If you got guys that want to go home and golf and go on their vacation, you're probably not going to play for 2 months and win. So a lot of the lessons I learned in Philadelphia, I brought to playoff hockey in Chicago. And I mean, that team in Chicago, they all did the same types of things and had the right attitude when playoffs started. And we even saw it against the Oilers, that some of those guys setting the tone in that locker room. So very fortunate to be on some good teams.
Yeah, and you won the All-Star Game MVP. It's unbelievable.
Just like you.
I know. It's unbelievable. So we'll go back to playoff hockey. What's your take on this round? How did you like it? What did you think of the play-in rounds? Were you a fan?
Yeah, I was. And I was impressed with these players, first of all. Could you imagine getting off the couch? I know they're not sitting on the couch like you and I are these days, but they're training. They're getting ready to play no hockey for 4.5 months, and all of a sudden it's like one exhibition game and we're going hard. And every series, with the exception of maybe one or two, had some like serious viciousness.
There was some bite. There was some fights. You know? Well, do you remember when we got locked out in, gosh, what year was it? 2010 12? Or 11, 12?
Yeah.
Even that was hard. We came back just after Christmas and we mm-hmm. were training and skating. Like, I can't imagine not even skating and just jumping into playoff hockey. Like, that's, I thought it was super entertaining though. I loved the hockey. I didn't notice no fans at all.
Me neither. I thought the league did a good job. It's probably tough on the players. I kind of leave the guys alone that I know they're playing right now. I don't want to ask them questions, you know, seeing as I'm on the other side now. I just kind of leave it alone. But I put myself in that position as a player. It would be a little more difficult looking around an empty building. You can hear the other team talking. There's silence. You know, we do it in training camps sometimes, playing those big buildings. But these guys raised their level, and they need to be commended for it. And I think the round-robin teams, the top four in each side, have a big advantage here. Everyone's worried about them flipping the switch on. I'm not really. I feel like they had the advantage and kind of just easing into this thing, play some hockey, and now they know it's time to get going.
So you're not worried about the Bruins at all?
I'm a little concerned, but I think they're going to play pretty good hockey. And the fact that that top line hasn't scored tells you all you need to know. Once they score one, they're going to relax. They're going to calm right down and they'll be back to normal, I think.
Yeah.
But they're playing Carolina. And I mean, there's another team you can, whatever side you're on, like I'd be scared to play Carolina. Maybe not scared is the right word to use. I'd be concerned playing Carolina, but they've been off for a week inside of a bubble. So what have they been doing? How are they going to be ready to go? Nobody knows. It's all going to be good hockey. I expect big hits though, in this next round. Some series were two teams playing hockey. I think now it's going to be real old school playoff hockey from here on.
It's out. Some animosity happening there. I hope so. So I'm a huge proponent of Toronto being terrible. I think it's super, super enjoyable. What is your take on the Leafs? Just because I feel like I talk about them all the time and it's just like a reality show. Everything they do, it's like, holy cow. Like what do they need to do or what did they do wrong? Or they just run into the Jackets as a bad matchup.
Tough matchup, and you knew it was going to be when they announced the Leafs versus the Blue Jackets. I was like, yikes, you don't get Boston in the first round, but now you got to deal with this team in Columbus. And I thought they played hard. That's one thing I will say about the guys on Toronto. They showed me something. Auston Matthews wasn't just trying to score goals and stay on the outside to use his shot and his release. He was competing pretty hard. I don't know. Toronto would be – I didn't like the setup that they were going with there at different points in the series. I mean, you can't argue with Marner, Tavares, and Matthews loaded up on one line. They carried the play. Mm-hmm. Didn't get a lot of production out of that line, but I feel like down the middle of the ice, they need some good old-fashioned center icemen that are going to grind it out, be accountable two ways, and then you can afford to load up that top line. But it's an interesting strategy. I always like watching the Leafs. I always get a kick out of when they lose. Twitter and the fan base in Ontario and Canada goes nuts. How about the game that they were trailing 3-0 and that would have been it and everybody was just all over them and then right away here they come back. Everyone's back on board.
Yeah, so plan the parade.
I was thinking maybe they'd have an advantage being in the bubble, not having to deal with all the nonsense around them. But, you know, young team, they got some good players there. They're going to have to learn these lessons if they ever want to.
I'm tired of the young team. They're not a young team anymore. They've been in the league for, gosh, how many years? Because I was talking to Kaner. He's like, yeah, I won my first cup at 21.
Yeah, but he had Marian Hossa at 29.
And Patrick Sharp.
Guys, Patrick Sharp at 27. Auston Matthews is just a kid. He's going to be around a long time. They made some changes in Toronto. Watch Nazem Kadri play for the Colorado Avalanche and watch the kind of role he's going to play behind Nathan MacKinnon, right? He's going to do a good job for them. Couldn't help but feel – that type of center iceman could have helped the Leafs in a series against Columbus.
I know. I didn't like that Tyson Berry the moment they made it. But anyways, I just think it's fun to rip on the Leafs a little bit. So, all right. So this first round, and then I'll let you go. I just want to touch on some stuff. Which matchups are you most excited for? Anything that stands out?
The Colorado-Vegas one should be fun. They've played some good games in the past, high-scoring games. It'll be a tougher test for the Hawks to match up against this Vegas team. I think they're a little deeper than Edmonton. I'll be watching one.
Yeah,
I like that Leonard and Crawford may go head-to-head at some point in the series.
They say Leonard's going to start. I saw that. He's playing game one.
I can't really argue with that one. Boston-Carolina will be nice to see. Carolina got swept last year. They're a different team than they were last year. If Dougie Hamilton comes back, we touched on the Bruins. Are they going to wake it up? I think they will, but still, it's not going to be an easy series against Carolina. That's a tough one. What else do we got? Who's in the East there? Tampa's got Columbus. Yeah, that's another rematch, right, from last year.
Yeah, Columbus swept them last year. I think Columbus is going to win that one.
I'm thinking they might pull it out also. We'll see. I mean, it's tough to make predictions right now, but to think that Columbus has no Panarin, no Bobrovsky, no Duchesne, and those three guys all left for better things, and they're all out of the qualifying round, and Columbus is still chugging along. Makes me kind of root for Columbus a little bit in that series, but who knows?
I just think they played the Lightning very similar to the Leafs. Very similar style of
very
game.
Very similar. And no Hedman is that.
No Hedman.
Huge
and then
loss.
Is Stamkos playing? Who knows?
I haven't heard he's playing. He hasn't played at all yet. So that's two big losses right there. Braden Point looks good, but still, if we'll see, man. I don't know. What are you looking forward to? What's the series that jumps out on you?
The Flyers. I'm all in on your Flyers, man. I think they're gonna win. Like, I like that team. I think they're set up really nice. So and then the Canadiens, they played well against Pittsburgh. So I like that series. I don't know. I'm excited. I got to get the NHL package to watch these games. I really do. Because I think I might do this. You might have talked me into it. So who's your upset pick out of this round? We got Flyers, Canadians are going to be upset there.
I would probably, if you're asking me to pick a series right now, I'd probably lean towards the Flyers. It'd be crazy to bet against them the way they've got things rolling right now. If I'm looking for an upset, it would be Boston, not getting into the bubble and firing things up and taking it on the chin from the Carolina Hurricanes. That would be considered an upset, I think, from a lot of people.
Yeah, the Hurricanes look good. All right. Anyways, let's do a fun little question at the end. I've always wanted to know, what do you use in your hair? I'm a hairspray guy. I always have been. I think that's just because my mom, she kind of used it when I was younger. So I just am a hairspray guy. What's your routine? Buddy, come on, Sharpie.
I don't have a routine, but I have a
shower.
Stop
it.
And then I throw some stuff in my hair. It's usually not hard. And it's not jelly. It's like the paste stuff that moves around.
Okay.
Get it all in your hands, right, Johnny?
Okay.
Get it all in your hair. Okay. Everywhere.
How much do you use? Like a dime?
Well, that's the question. I mean, everyone's got to use a different amount, okay? I don't use a lot. I get it on my hands, put it in there, and then I go to studio. And then once I'm at the studio, we got a team of hair and makeup people that get every hair exactly where they want it. So I can't really comment on what happens once I leave the house.
You're not even it's just that much of a secret. It's a secret recipe.
I just
not telling us.
Else.
Unbelievable.
I don't even know the name of the stuff. I don't use anything. Come on. I just move it around.
Stop it. I've seen you after games. Stop it.
Oh, shit.
The straight iron, the flat iron in the mirror. I'm like, Sharpie, bus is leaving. You guys can wait for me. No. Yeah, and then we sit there for 20 minutes. just so he can have his 2-minute walk from the dressing room to the bus. He might
never
see
know.
One person.
You never know if a camera gets you. Always got to look good, Johnny.
All right, man. I don't want to keep you anymore. I really appreciate this, Sharpie. Let's do it again. It was awesome. Love the insight. Glad you're doing well. And have a safe drive. Drive safe.
Thanks, Jody. Appreciate you having me on. Sure. Good luck with everything. See
no, we'll do it. I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Let's
Cheers.
Do it. All right. Bye.
Wow. That was Patrick Sharp. Nailed it. Knocked it out of the park. Again, I say this a lot. You never know what you're going to get. I knew what I was going to get from Sharpie. He's a pro. Always has been. Always will be. Good stories. I think his memory is a little foggy on the throat/incident. But listen. I guess then he has a story. I have a story, and we'll just leave it at that. But anyways, thank you to him for jumping on. We'll probably get him again, maybe for a round two preview, get some predictions, get some insights, some stories from the studio and what else, who knows, but that's it, everybody. I hope you enjoyed. I hope everyone's doing well. Like I say, every episode, staying safe, and we will see you in a few days. Cheers. Sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. Major League Baseball back in action, and there's no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partners Bet Online. Check out all the odds, futures, and props to bet on, all available 24/7. And with the return of sports, Bet Online sat down with former pro players Eddie George, Harold Reynolds, and seven-time NBA champ Robert Horry. See what they had to say on what it'll be like playing without fans in a series they're calling Fandemic. Visit betonline.ag for all your odds and up-to-date sports news. Remember to use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. Bet Online, your online wagering experts.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. Make sure you're following the show on Twitter at @dropping_gloves for episode highlights, behind-the-scenes content, sneak peeks, and giveaways. Check out johnscottallstar.com/shop for merchandise including t-shirts, hats, hoodies, and so much more. And please, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It's so important to helping us grow so we can keep delivering the hockey content and interviews with the players you love. Thanks, and see you next time.